views and opinions of shows on the views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children.
Hello, Reading, and welcome. This is Sovereign Minds, and we have another show. It's been another week, and we have another show. This is Nate, and with me, as always, I have Mark Kent. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Nate? Very good. I guess I gotta pay attention here, huh?
I guess I do too. I was looking away.
I was getting on the chat box, making sure I was checked in. So
how's your week?
Hey, you know, it's the fun never stops.
Oh, well, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, same to you. I'm not sure if you're a father.
I'm not a father.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks for Happy Father's Day.
But I have
Day.
A dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Yeah, well, and Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. So, you know, we're here at Sovereign Minds Radio, and we want to make sure that everybody understands what's going on out there. So we thought we'd start talking about the headlines to begin with.
Well, yeah, and first off, if anybody'd like to call us and just give us your opinions, you can either call us at 530-605-4567, or we're streaming live on chat at www.kcnr1460.com. And now we'll get to the headlines.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that we had some special guests in the studio tonight. We have Councilman Patrick Jones and Elizabeth Woodward from the Tea Party, and we'll be getting to those guys here pretty soon. But I wanted to say hello to them as well.
How you doing, Mark? Thanks for having me on.
Good evening, guys. Nice to see you.
I just love your voice, Elizabeth.
Aw, thanks.
That's why we want it on.
Absolutely.
It's not for my brain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
that's it.
Yeah. Please tell me you like what I think.
Of course.
Yeah, we love what you think. Okay, back to reality here.
Unfortunate reality, actually.
Oh, I meant the headlines, not the other. Yeah, I got to be careful here. Okay, so, you know, we've got a couple of big headlines that are going on right now, and we thought we'd hit them here. One is that the Chinese government is buying up economic assets and huge tracts of land all over the United States. Now, gee, that just does not sound like a good thing. I don't know about anybody else, but when the Chinese government starts, buying up America, I think that's a problem, you know, and I think a lot of people are waking up to this fact that they're using sovereign wealth funds and a Chinese state-owned enterprise to buy up economic assets in the United States. You know, I mean, a lot of the politicians are hailing this as a foreign investment, as something that is good for America, but think about that for just a second. A communist government starting to buy up land in America, do you think that that could be a big problem? You know, I mean, I don't know. I maybe I'm wrong here, but, you know, I'm just saying that could be a big problem down the road.
You know, I read recently that there's a huge community being built right outside the Boise, Idaho city limits. The Chinese have bought the land and they're building.
Unbelievable. So, you know, that was the first story that I kind of wanted to bring attention to because, you know, obviously you heard that all over the mainstream media, right? They told you all about that.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, just go back to sleep.
And if they do, they tell you it's a good thing, you know, even if they do bring it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great thing that China's buying up America.
We need help.
A communist country, a Marxist regime that, you know, kind of keeps all of their guys in slavery is taking over and buying up property in America. Wow. That, that's beautiful, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
That's great. You know,
I'm
what we need. We could all have little red stars on our hats and, you know, that would be just awesome, I think, you know, especially if you wanted to be a Marxist country.
What I like, it makes it fair for everybody. You know, everybody's treated equally there.
Yeah, we can redistribute the wealth, you know. I mean, we can redistribute your wealth to me. How's that working?
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Fundamentally, it makes no sense to me how anybody can believe this tripe. You know, that, this is going to be good for everybody if we redistribute the wealth. You know, what happens when they can take it from you and give it to me? Well, what it means is that they can take it from anybody and give it to anybody they want. And this idea that they're going to do this all for our own good is ridiculous because government, always does everything for the people for its own good. They're not power hungry or trying to take over things, or, you know, like healthcare or General Motors or the banking it goes on and on and on and on and on. So where does this thing stop? You know, we got the War Powers Act that is being circumvented at the Constitution as far as Congress is supposed to have a say so on who declares war. And to think that does anybody really believe that Mr. Obama has their best interests in mind anymore? I mean,
yeah, no, it's totally obvious. And on that note, with the War Powers Act, Congress voted against Libya funding. Luckily, our House of Representatives, which we have control of now, it seems, which they can't get these things through anymore, but it still has to go through the Senate, which will be the big problem. But at least they're doing things, you know what I mean? I have to applaud. At least one of the three branches is doing something right.
I got to say that, you know, if they're doing something right, I'm the first one to jump up and congratulate them. You know, and the reason that they're starting to do stuff right is they're starting to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. People are watching them now. They're not getting away with things. They're not doing things behind everybody's, behind closed doors.
Great story about that here.
I have no recollection of that.
That never happened.
I do not recall. That's the... So, did you have another headline over there, Nate?
Oh, yeah, just on the Agenda 21 front, I would just like to mention that the wildlife refugees is going to be planted with GMOs now. The Obama administration has endorsed genetically engineered agriculture on more than 50 national wildlife refugees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Refuges?
Refuges. Yeah, refuges, not refugees.
Kind of like national monuments.
So
same kind of thing.
They're talking about 20,000 cultivated, more than 20,000 acres to be cultivated. No limit on how many acres can be crops.
So in a nutshell, if we don't fight back a little bit on this, we're all going to be eating genetically modified foods.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the increase in personal home gardens?
You know, a lot of people are starting to buy these heirloom garden seeds because you can, you know, replant them the next year without it turning into something that you didn't plant, you know, that year. You can save the seeds, in other words. That is happening all over the place. Also, the stores of emergency supplies are starting to get to the point where people are buying them up. A lot of them have been out of stock or on waiting list to be restocked. You know, people are starting to wake up out there because, you know something?
They're selling emergency preparedness packs, 3-day emergency go bags at Orchard Hardware. I mean, this is what you're starting to see everywhere you go.
Why would we need those when we're in recovery?
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm recovering, you know, maybe from like a hangover or something. But, you know, the real deal is this recovery, the summer. Remember, wasn't it last year? Obama was the summer of recovery?
Yeah.
Remember that? We were recovering last summer.
And he swore if we did that first stimulus package, unemployment would never go beyond 8%. He promised that.
Yeah, now
it's almost 9.5%.
Well, the real deal is it's like 22% or 18 or 19 or something. Because
those numbers are skewed.
Yeah, they don't count the people who don't have a job that aren't on who aren't collecting the benefits, and they don't count the people who drop off the benefits, and they don't count the people that are not looking for work anymore.
And all of the self-employed people who have lost their businesses who were never on the unemployment rolls to begin with.
Yeah, because
what about them?
Because when you lose your business, you don't get unemployment. Yeah. So it's a problem. Anyway, so we're the thing is that if anybody's believing any of this tripe anymore, I mean, you need your head examined as far as I'm concerned. You know, the idea that the politicians are doing this for the good of everybody out there, that politicians would never be hungry for power, would they? Anyway, okay, next headline.
Well, I would just like to mention, because it's another thing that irritates me, is when nobody will mention Ron Paul. And
I am in agreement with you. Ron Paul won this last poll.
Right.
And he, you know, out-pulled, I don't know, what did he out-pull?
Well,
or,
yeah, Ron Paul had 612 votes, and the next guy next or to him had 382.
Yeah, so that was Romney, right?
No, that was Huntsman.
So Huntsman actually...
And then Bachman, and then Romney wasn't even... I mean, he was on there, but he didn't get very many.
So, in other words, if we were in a horse race, he was the long shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
he should be.
So, isn't it funny how the mainstream media has made him the guy? He's the guy to beat, but, you know, they don't follow their own It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's the guy they want elected because he's going to be the old guard, putting back in globalists. You know, we want a constitutionalist. We want somebody who's going to get us back to sound money, back to the Constitution, back to how the founding fathers wanted this thing to go.
And the beauty of it is his voting record's proven that he will do it. You know, a lot of people will just give you a lot of smoke and mirrors and talk, but he's actually proven it through 30 years of being in the House.
Yeah, and people are starting to wake up to that. The other thing about Ron Paul that I'm reading here is that he's saying that the inflation problem is going to be much worse than the 70s-style stagflation, and I think he's right. We've got QE2 ending at the end of the month. We're going to be running into they're going to have to stop printing money, which is going to collapse the economy at that point, or they're going to, behind the scenes, keep printing money until we hyperinflate. Take your pick, or pick your poison. You know, I think that they're going to keep printing money because these guys have no other choice. If they deflate the currency, the banks are out of business. That's what the people are trying to protect. When they hyperinflate, people will wake up when they have government checks coming in or food stamps, and they go to the store, and they won't buy them enough groceries to last them a day or two.
Right, I think it'll stop. It won't stop, because once it stops, they're done. So as long as they can keep kicking that can down the road, they're gonna. You know, as long as you put up with it.
Well, but sooner or later, all fiat currencies always go to zero throughout history. There's never been one time where a fiat currency has not gone to zero. Currency has to be backed by something solid. If it's not, then it will go to zero sooner or later. It usually takes a decade or two. We've been off the gold standards in 71, so it's taken us a little longer, but at some point in time, we've lost 97% of the value of the dollar since 1910. Think about that for a second. You used to be able to buy 97% more things with a dollar in 1910 than you can now. Interesting.
You know, a good physical analogy, a good description, if somebody needs to see that for themselves, you take a dollar bill and you take a piece of silver, put them in a glass of water, leave them overnight, get up the next morning, what do you got?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
silver.
True.
A wet dollar and silver.
A dollar that's disintegrated.
Oh, okay, very good. that kind of leads us into our next subject. I wanted to talk about because this is all going to be related to the city of Reading. You know, we have to think about locally how's this going to affect this. You know, I mean, what's going to happen if this hyperinflates, and you're going to see that the checks become pretty much worthless for Social Security, for Medicare, or for food stamps becomes worthless because they don't have any value at the store, for people on welfare and so forth. And then we got a prisoner release of 36,000, and last time they released, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 violent prisoners by accident because there's a computer glitch, even though they're supposed to be nonviolent, and they never went out and recovered them because they don't have the staff now and the probation and so forth. What does that mean for our city of Reading with all the cutbacks in police and fire and what's going on? I mean, for me, you know, 2 and 2 equals we got a disaster on the way. We better start preparing. With that, I'd like to welcome our Councilman Patrick Jones and get his viewpoint on the subject.
Well, good evening, Mark, and thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. I've come to this room before, obviously, with Carl and Linda Bott show in the morning, and so it's kind of nice coming here in the evening. And so thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Better parking.
Welcome. A little better parking downtown at night on a Sunday afternoon or evening. You know, when you asked me to come on, I know you talk a lot about different things that happen, you know, on the statewide level and, of course, on the national level, and those things are extremely important to all of us, especially right now in tough economic times that we have not seen for any of our adult lives. And those do not escape us here in our great city of Reading. You know, with our budget, we've had to cut out already over $20 million of ongoing general fund shortfalls. That's pretty substantial, and that has a definite impact on the services that we provide, police and fire, roads, so forth. It is absolutely unavoidable when things start changing, and the world has certainly changed. I wish I had a crystal ball that I could tell you in a year or two or three that things would be getting better. And obviously, no one knew to the extent that this economy would slip. And really, I don't think too many people know when it's going to improve in the future. What we do know right now is that we do need to come together as a community help each other out in these tough times.
I think that's really important, and that's what we're trying to do with the Tea Party and all the focus on Neighborhood Watch that we've been talking about and everything else. We really need to pull together to help each other in this community, because I think this is going to get third world on us, whether we realize it or believe it or not. You know, we've talked about this normalcy bias before, of people ignoring emergencies because they've never had something like that happen to them before. In the Katrina scenario, for example, they waited for the government to bail them out. We need to, like you say, pull together, and I think that should be our main thrust.
You know, I'm an optimist, and I know in the Great Depression, things were extremely tough, and they lingered for many years. And some people think in 29 and 30 it was tough, but take a look at 32 and 33 and 34 mm-hmm. and 35, and all through the 30s it was very difficult, and people lost everything. We're seeing some of those trends today. We're seeing people. I talked to a friend of mine that had 10 people working for him just a couple years ago. He no longer has 10 people working for him, and he's now a security guard. Things like that. But he feels fortunate because he still has a job.
And the thing that's different now is that this is a worldwide occurrence, because this is the first time in the history of the world where we've had this fiat currency, this counterfeiting, if you will, from central banks worldwide, because they were all connected to the world reserve currency, which was the dollar, and the dollar was connected to gold. It made a stable economy. As soon as we severed that link to the gold, then what happened was simultaneously all of them became fiat currencies. Now, that's why we're seeing these riots worldwide, because the currency's being devalued and more money's being printed. And that's going to come home to us next. Those riots in Greece, you know, if we think we're immune to them, that's ridiculous. But the point being is, this is going to be worse than it was before, in my opinion, because it's on a bigger scale.
And, you know, when you think about this movement toward going global, this takes on a whole new meaning, because it goes beyond environmental issues and let's all get together and love each other and be nice and be peaceful and happy. Financially, it's a house of cards. It's, you know, a domino game. We've tied ourselves so tightly to other world economies that when they go down, we all go down. So maybe going global wasn't such a good idea after all.
Now, as an elected official here on a local level, my thinking is always immersed in the local issues. And, you know, for a lot of us, it's tough to make a change, to try to change Sacramento. It's tough for us to try to change Washington. But we can change our city, and we can change our local government. And if you can change your local government, then you can change everything. And so I encourage people to come to City Hall. And I've seen a change in the people that have come. I've gone now to 11 years of council meetings, and I've seen different people come and speak. And what I'm seeing today is a different group of people that needed to be heard. They've always needed to be heard. They just hadn't shown up before. And they're learning about local politics and the issues that we have and the difficulties and the challenges that we face. But I'm excited about seeing people come and take an interest in their local government, and make us be representing our constituents. And we need to be held accountable.
Yep.
And we need accountable council members today more than ever. And, you know, we do not have the spare dollars to waste. And there's certainly waste at all governmental levels. It's very tough for me and very frustrating for me growing up in a private small business where you eke out a living every week to see if you can make another month. And you do that year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. And I've been with my company over 30 years.
I can really relate to that. Let me tell you.
Yeah, and so can we. I mean, a lot of us have been self-employed. And if I could interject on a personal level, as far as being a citizen attending these local meetings, years ago I would sneak into a city council meeting once in a while just out of curiosity, and there was never anyone there. And sitting out in the audience, I felt like I stood out like a sore thumb. Now you go, and every single time the city council meets, it's a packed house.
Yeah. And recently, Mark, and I don't know if you were there, but one of our council members pretty well chastised people for coming forward and speaking. And I can tell you that, at least for me, that is not the way that I feel. In fact, it's just the opposite.
I wasn't there, but we played that clip
video
at the Reading Tea Party. And
so everybody knows now.
Everybody pretty much seen it. And, you know, when you mentioned the fact that we first started coming there, it was a total learning curve because most of us were private citizens. We were not used to jumping into politics. We just wanted to be left alone and be happy and, you know, make a living with our families and successful and prosperous. And it got to the point where we knew we had to jump in. And it's been a learning curve all the way around for us. I mean, when we jumped into this thing, we were like babes in the woods. We didn't know who to trust. We still don't. But at least we're starting to savvy up a little bit here. And I wanted to kind of tell about the victory down in Red Bluff the other night. You know, the Tea Party goes down there to this Agenda 21 conference, basically with the Fish and Game. And when we showed up there, out of 110, 120 people that were there, 90 of them were Tea Party guys because they're starting to stand up for their rights, the rights of property and the American people. Let's get back to the Constitution. So, yeah, it's getting better, and we're holding everybody accountable.
And I think it's really critical that we explain to the listeners that the misconceptions about the people that are involved in this Tea Party movement are just way out in left field. If you go to these meetings and you converse with these folks, you're going to find everything and everyone. You're going to find blue collar, white collar. You're going to find Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, young people, older people, self-employed, retired government workers.
Americans.
What you're going to find at any of these meetings is mainstream America, people who understand that something's wrong.
You know, I always appreciate when people come and speak. It's not easy, you know, at City Hall coming up and speaking, if you've ever done that. And you have, Mark, and you have, Elizabeth.
I have.
You know, the lights are on you, the cameras are rolling, and every word that you say is being recorded. And so it's tough. And people come forward, but that's what that room is about. And how are you going to affect some change and let people know? And, you know, years ago we weren't getting that, and today we are getting that, and it has made a difference. And people are starting to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to do this. A good example is recently we had an issue at the library, and it's been in the paper several times, where we had a First Amendment issue that the staff and council ultimately approved on a 4-1 vote. I did not support the policy to restrict your activity in front of the library. And I thought, you know, in a time where we really don't need any more restrictions put upon the people at a local, state, or federal level, this is certainly not the time, and especially when it has to do with your First Amendment rights. And Monday morning at 8:30, the judge will give, I think, a final decision. She's given a preliminary results already, and it does not look favorable for the city at this moment. But I think that came forward really from citizens challenging the city, saying we're not going to accept this policy. We're not going to let this one go by. And we're seeing that. And so this is a good example of how you can get involved and make a difference here. And, you know, this will send a message throughout California and maybe elsewhere.
And, you know, another thing, another misconception is that, for instance, the Tea Party movement has one way of seeing things, when in fact this particular issue that you're speaking about came together from members of the Tea Party and the ACLU. I mean, in your wildest dreams, do you think that you would have ever seen that partnership?
Well, you know, and when people come to speak at council, I don't see them as Democrats or mm-hmm. Republicans or Tea Party members. I just simply see them as my constituents, people that come forward that either live in the city, and I'm also concerned with people that shop and have their businesses here as well. This is our town. We're all a part of that. And, you know, I want to hear what you have to say. And I don't need a sticker or a label on a person to hear you out, to see if what you're saying makes sense. And then at some point, we need to act upon that we need to act upon what the people are telling us. If we're not acting upon that, and it's been said recently at council that we shouldn't be listening to small groups that come for us, well, who should we be listening to? You know, we need to be listening to the public, and if that's the only people coming forward, then you might want to listen to them. And when any time we have something that is restrictive, why would we do that to our own people? And it's come up many times. This is one case with the library issue, but there's been others about smoking and various things. And I'm not a smoker, and I don't like smoke. But when do we keep restricting your movements and we can still be free?
When does freedom stop and too much government control begin?
Yeah, because first it's the smoking, and then it's something else,
else. I hate that, too. It's the same for the marijuana thing. I totally hate marijuana. I totally hate drinking. I've seen it kill. I've seen drinking alcohol, for example, ruin more lives than smoking marijuana ever has in a lot of ways. So I'm totally dead set against it. But freedom is freedom. You have to have the freedom to fail. That's my opinion. Now, getting back to what we're talking about with all this community coming together, we've got a potential disaster scenario coming down the pipe. So I think we're going to go to a break right now, and then we'll be back and we'll talk about that scenario and maybe what you can do about it as it happens and develops.
Oh, to get away. Cottage by the Sea.
Yeah, you're looking for a place on the beach that allows for comfort, solitude, and peaceful ambiance? Try our favorite beach spot, Cottage by the Sea. It's privately owned, beautifully appointed, and it includes kitchen, private spa, and it's only steps from the ocean.
If there is magic on the planet, surely it is found on the ocean. Contact owners Ken and Lori at ouroceancottage@aol.com or call 541-469-3414. Cottage by the Sea.
You've seen all the amazing products on TV. Now find them all in one place. The As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek. If it slices, dices, chops, cooks, cleans, grills, drills, or fixes, they've got it. Just about anything that gets you in shape or simply makes your life a little easier. Over 1,000 As Seen on TV products all in one place. But wait, there's more. No waiting for delivery, no shipping and handling. Take it home today at the As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek Road.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
Our new theme song. We were just discussing it. I think that's
said it all, didn't it?
That's a great song. I love that.
I don't know about that, Mark. I mean, we're rocking out over here, and I thought we were going to be, country boy can survive.
Well,
you know,
yeah, well, that's next.
Yeah, I think that's on the playlist.
Yeah,
Patrick.
That's on the playlist, Patrick. The only thing about that last song is that you got to watch out when you start banging your head on the mic. See,
yeah, we're bobbleheads over here.
We got to get our wigs and start, you know, doing the head thing, but. All in all, I love that song. I think it's great. You have to listen to the whole song on that one. The lyrics are great all the way through. So, anyway, we're back, and we've been talking about economic disasters that are starting to develop worldwide. and how can we prepare and pull together as a community, and what can the city do in order to put some programs together, or, you know, what can the city and the community and the people do to, you know, try to make this disaster that's imminent from being quite as bad as it could be?
Well, one of the things that's on Tuesday's night agenda, Mark, is, in fact, it was by my request that I put on there. As you know, we have a situation with Fire Station 2 is temporarily being closed due to the budget restraints. And in the general fund, 65% of the entire money goes to police and fire because we put a preference on police and fire, and we hold them to a very high standard, and we have excellent police and fire personnel in the city of Reading. I'd put them up against any departments anywhere.
But absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is we're very short on funds. And through the process, trying to hold the line, essentially, trying to have something where we have a balanced budget and something long-term, right at the second, Fire Station 2 had to be temporarily shut down. On the agenda for Tuesday, I've come up with an idea or at least a discussion point about the possibility of a volunteer. Some volunteers throughout the city or at Station 2. And that could be also a talking point for the police department as well, where we have some eyes on the ground and have some volunteers helping out our paid professionals.
We've already approached the sheriff as well as the chief of police, and they seem both the sheriff was very receptive and so was the chief of police in order to put something together. I think these guys are out there. I think they like and love our community. I think they want to do whatever is the right thing to do here in conjunction with the community as far as putting together programs that are going to be helpful, and that's what the discussion needs to be beyond more and more. How do we do that, and let's start getting something put together.
And that's where the public can really come forward. Come to City Hall and say, hey, we want a higher level of protection, both in police and fire. And if it means some volunteers in the short term, then we need to hear from the public to say that. I would certainly rather have paid professionals if I could. But literally, when we're $20 million down and counting, and a severe recession that's not going to turn anytime soon, we're going to have to do some other things.
Well, some of the things that we had talked about was that having ex police officers or ex sheriff, you know, retired sheriffs, come out of the semi-retirement or whatever they're doing and start training some of the citizenry to have a little bit of professionalism. And ex-military would be helpful. I know a lot of people that are veterans out there that have had a lot of experience in different aspects of protection and police and combat training, which I would imagine would cross right over. So those are the kind of ideas that we had talked about that sounded pretty good.
Well, we have some great people here in Reading and in the Reading area. I mean, we have a volunteer spirit that's very strong, and we have people that come forward for causes that they feel important, and this is certainly a very important cause. And I'm a volunteer on six different committees in town outside my own regular job and my jobs at City Hall, and I find a little bit of time to volunteer with these other organizations that I feel strongly about. And I know there are plenty of people out there that can come forward. And you know what we're talking about as a volunteer, both with you know for example with police, would be possibly operating a cruiser in odd hours or certain times of the day, where when they see something suspicious, they can call that in. They don't necessarily need to engage dangerous activities, but just having eyes on the ground, something like that could be very beneficial, and it could really help be a deterrent to crime. And we have situations where I think that would be very good today and looking into the future, where we may have more criminals out on the streets than we would normally like.
Well, you know, Assemblyman Nielsen recently revealed to us that these prisoners that are going to start being released on July 1st, although the idea was that they would be low-level offenders, he said the truth of the matter is that when they come out of these prisons, they're never low-level offenders. And I think it's critical that people open up their eyes to what's coming and understand that this isn't going to be a pretty picture. And I don't want to get completely off track, but start with your families, folks. You know, my family met this morning for a Father's Day brunch, and for some reason this topic came up, and you know, I'm fortunate enough through my volunteer work in local politics to be privy to some of this information, and I gave my family some hard facts. It wasn't easy for them to take, but people need to know, and families need to start planning and pulling together.
It's time to wake up. There's no question about it. We are getting in the 11th hour of this economy, and it's time to put aside the tripe and the media disinformation and start looking at the reality of what is happening here so we can start protecting ourselves.
Yeah, and it's something that we don't have to, you know, it's not that we're trying to scare people,
no.
But you just simply want to be prepared. And it's much like having a fire extinguisher. We hope you never need it, but it's pretty handy to have them in a convenient location in case you do have a fire. You know, you can help yourself and keep the damage to a minimum. And that's what we're talking about. And I know, Mark, you've been preaching about this for years, about being prepared. And it's not being paranoid. It's just simply good practice.
It's prudent. And, to being prudent. Yeah.
You know, and saving your money, working hard, all those things that we needed to have been doing our whole lives.
Well, that's how we used to do it. I mean, right. You know, certainly not our generations, but before the Industrial Revolution, that's what people did. They didn't have grocery stores on every corner.
Well, not only that, we lived within our means. We didn't borrow everything that we spent our money on, and that's a huge thing, and we're not going to go too far into it, but think about it. Right now, everybody is so used to using credit cards and borrowing from their house. We are so far in debt, not only on the federal level, but on the personal level. A lot of people go buy their groceries with their credit cards. You know, it used to be that you didn't buy things unless you had the money to buy them with. So that meant you had to work hard and save the money as opposed to running up your credit cards and then, you know, causing yourself a financial problem, which is what we've done on the federal level.
It always amazes me about the credit card debt and the people, you know, the amount of debt that people take on. And for myself, I have a credit card. I don't use it. It has, you know, I simply don't use it. Try to use the money that I have and live within my means. And you know, much of this housing nightmare was simply, you know, I'd gone on a trip one day to Reno, and I went into a subdivision, and the entire subdivision, a mile long, housing started at $600,000 and up, and it was a big billboard as if that was a good price. And I thought to myself, how can a person afford a $600,000, you know, in Reno? What kind of income do you have to really be able to support that long term? Well, the reality is that they could not. They couldn't all over the country and in Reading as well. And we have to get back to not to the gimmicks and to the smoke and the mirrors, but to real things that matter. I think sometimes,
you know, financial fundamentals.
Fundamentals. Turn the TV off and start working on things that are important to us, and start with our own local politics. Start here in our own city, and make a difference here. Come together as a community and do what's right. Don't worry about the financial aspects. Not everything in life is always about money, and you know, volunteering, you'll be more rewarded from that than any kind of pay that could that you could be paid to volunteer for your own town and do something good. And we see that across the nation. You know, for example, with fire departments, I saw a statistic recently that 70% of our fire personnel out there are volunteers. That's tremendous. And you know, and we need to do more of those types of things. And we have tons of great people here in Reading. I know we can come together. We have a great spirit here of donating and working on great causes, and you know, we have a great city, and you know, so I'm still optimistic, but we have to start taking back our government as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're certainly not void of troubles here, and it takes people being active, and we're seeing that, and I'm very encouraged by it. And you know, I have
you're a coach with a team.
Well, I've been said to be a bit of an outsider, but I'm not. The reality is, outside of what? I work for the people. I don't consider myself an outsider. I was elected by the people. I work for the people. In fact, from the first day I got to City Hall, they reminded me I need to be responsible to the people that elected me, and I have not forgot that day one. That's not a definition of an outsider. That is trying to be accountable to the people. And you know, and so I work hard on that, and I do listen very much to the people. And, you know, and I work 6 days a week, 60 hours plus a week in my own job. So I'm on the ground in a retail setting every day, and I have been for decades. You know, so I listen to people. People can find me. I'm easy to find. If anybody wants to come and yell at me, I'm easy to find. My phone number is 222-3223. You can call me anytime, come by. And that's what we should be about. We should be open to listen from you. and to be able to take that criticism and not just take the good, but we have to be prepared for the bad as well. And certainly when we close a fire station, that's not good.
Yeah, you know, I think you said it. It's really about quality of life. You know, everybody thinks it's about money, but it's about quality of life. Money is just a tool to give you a better quality of life, and that's what this is all about. The American dream, in my opinion, is about the community, about family, about God, if you will, about, you know, quality of life around you. It's not about seeing who gets to die with the most toys. And, you know, I've got a few quotes here that I thought were kind of funny. I just Googled them up here. And, so, you know, just to kind of lighten the mood here, because I think after this is all over and we get through this thing, which we're going to, coming out the other side, we're going to see a lot better quality of life because we're going to get back to basics. And that's what we need to do. This is a quote from Doug Larson. I'm not even sure who he is. It says, "People are living longer than ever before, a phenomenon undoubtedly made necessary by a 30-year mortgage." here's another one. "When did the future switch from being a promise to being a threat?" Okay. This is Groucho Marx. "It isn't so much that hard times are coming. The change observed is mostly soft times are going."
There you go. Well, and you know, and we don't want to, you know, turn into a real estate show here, but
no.
If you go into some of these foreclosures, if you're looking at these properties that have been abandoned, you will see where people cared for their homes. They remodeled them, they were upgrading them, and then they lost them. And I think what happens is when the values went up, people began to pull their equity out. They were using their homes as an ATM machine. You shouldn't ever want anything that bad.
Right, right. And then, and you know, the house is not important, but the family is. And that's what it's really all about. And there's different types of family. That can be your family at work. That can be your family at home. You can adopt a family of many different ways. But that's what's important to us. And, you know, for me as an elected local official, our family is the residents of Reading. And, you know, and I'm passionate about protecting what we have here in Reading. And, you know, and it doesn't mean that I don't feel for our entire county. But my job is elected as a Reading City Council member, and so I fight hard for those things here in Reading, try to live within our means for a long-term sustainable strategy, and sometimes that's going to be going against the flow. We were chatting off the air that sometimes I vote no a bit, a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's always 4-1, and 1 is Patrick.
You know, but it's my job to challenge those staff reports, to read them, to see if that is the best use of our tax dollars. And you know, for me, I work hard for that dollar. You know, and I don't want to waste it. And I use it as my own experience. If I want to do a remodel of a building or a room for $60,000, does it really need it? If it doesn't, I'm not going to support it. And you can try hard to convince me of it, but it's going to be pretty hard to be able to do that. And I approach everything in that manner. You know, sometimes some people call me a tightwad. That's fine. Sometimes I am. But it's just being a fiscal conservative in a time that we have to be. We don't have that luxury today when we have declining revenues and costs increasing. We've got to get a handle on our costs and control those costs through tough bargaining. We've got to get a handle on our spending. The revenue is something that the city doesn't create wealth. We don't go out there and make things, and that's on the backs of the private sector. We certainly spend your money, and we need to be doing it very wisely.
What we need to do as well, and what people don't realize, is that in order to have a sound economy, you have to have sound money. This goes to why the founding fathers made it in the Constitution, gold and silver coins as representing the only legitimate legal tender, and that was that the dollars were always supposed to represent gold and silver coins redeemable upon demand. And that is the basis of our whole economic catastrophe here, is that what that does when you get rid of that is it causes the government to be able to deficit spend. It can spend money, and then in order to make up for the shortfall, they can keep cranking the money out of thin air to pay for the shortfall. That's the underlying crisis, in a nutshell, is because it just keeps inflating the currency over and over again. And that is why they've introduced legislation in Utah to make gold and silver coins legal tender, and I think you're going to see a boom. If we can get California and the rest of the states to go back to legitimate backed money, then we will start to see this thing turn around. And I wanted to give you a quote from John F. Kennedy in 1959. I think this quote is really good. I just found it. It says, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger, and the other represents opportunity. If you think about that for a second, in every crisis, there's danger, obviously, but there's also opportunities to figure out what the problem is, to make things better, to not repeat the crisis. And I think that's interesting, and that's what we're talking about. First, you have to acknowledge that the crisis is going to have some danger to it. And then you have to acknowledge the other part of fixing the crisis, which is fiscal responsibility across the board.
Mark, before we get too carried away, I see on the chat line that we had someone asking about the Reading Electric Utility lawsuit, which
right.
is kind of one of two particular lawsuits that are out there right now. The REU lawsuit, essentially for the last 20 years or better, the city has essentially had a payment in lieu of from our utilities, and that has been going on for a long time. It's been a long time practice. A lot of cities do that. Last year, Proposition 26 passed, and it essentially said if you are going to have a tax, that the public has to vote on that tax, that you can't simply just enact that. And essentially, there's been an attorney in Reading, which is going to make certainly a very big wave throughout California if successful. Attorney Walt McNeil has sued the city of Reading on this payment in lieu of. Now, what it means to the general fund for the city of Reading is roughly around $6 million a year. If that suit was successful by Mr. McNeil, that essentially we would be short $6 million per year on an ongoing basis out of the general fund. That money would go to the ratepayers and essentially lower your utility bills. And so I have historically had a lot of concerns about the payment in lieu of, and in this last rate increase, I did not support the last rate increase because the payment in lieu of scenario after Proposition 26 had passed. That will make big cities like Los Angeles have some huge heartburn, but certainly for us, a $6 million shortfall in the general fund is fairly serious as well. And that's where it's going to come down to what is really important for us at the City of Reading. What are our main priorities? What are the core responsibilities of local government? Time will tell. And in the budget process this next Wednesday, we will talk a little bit about what a $6 million shortfall might look like. And I wanted staff to be able to do that, to let public know, to let our people know what the possible scenarios could be. That is a huge cut on top of all the other cuts that we've already made, roughly $20 million in general fund shortfalls. To have another $6 million shortfall on top of that is pretty substantial. And who will it affect? How will it affect you? What kind of services and decline in services would you come to expect from that? And so it's a pretty big topic, and I did not support it. It did pass and move forward 4-1, and we'll see what happens, and I'm sure it will take some time.
So it sounds like we need a lot more people to get out there to the city council meetings and get involved and let your opinion be known to all of the councilmen.
Well, this is the best way. I mean, we really, our one vote probably doesn't count very much when we're voting on a national level. Here, it really does count.
Yeah, and all politics start local. Trust
right.
me on that.
We want change. We change from the locals and then up.
It's very difficult to make changes at the federal level, but it's the local level where the politics most intimately affect your life. So that's where you need to be.
I mean, I think the Founding Fathers wanted it like that. If you look at the House of Representatives, every 2 years they get in that. That's why we have a lot of control in that portion of it. And then obviously the Senate's another thing, but I don't necessarily think it should be a general election. I think it should be, they should answer to the states like they were intended to
in
the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Originally, the senators were supposed to be elected by the states, and they would answer to the states. When they're elected by the people, that's a problem, because then the state doesn't have an interest in the Senate, and that's what's caused part of this problem, absolutely. So
do you guys agree that the tough times that we've experienced in the last couple of years and what we see in the future has actually started bringing people back together? Do you see that we're turning back toward each other and doing things the way we did them before?
Well, we've got one of two ways to go here. We can keep running down the road to socialism, Marxism, whatever you prefer, and our standard of living can tank. We can live in a third world country, because that's where we go when we go with socialism or communism, and we usually end up with a dictator at some point, is how it works. Or we can go back to free markets and the Constitution and go back to where we are self-reliant and responsible for ourselves and accountable and holding our government and our government representatives accountable, so that we have a better standard of living, we're more prosperous, and we start to create more goods and services out there so people have more jobs. And that's just the way it works. It's a real simple equation. Right now, with half of the country on the government dole, if you will, the handout, or even if they earned it with Social Security, nonetheless, it's going to be a problem that they're going to be easily swayed more towards the socialism and bribed out of their freedom, because the government, by nature,
is sending them a paycheck,
and so they're going to bribe them out of their freedom and ultimately down the road of destruction if we don't go the other way.
And people actually forget that any kind of payment that you get from the government comes from the taxpayers. The government doesn't produce anything that it can sell to then pay its expenses. It all comes from the private sector.
Now, to answer the question, I think we are getting back, and we're getting back faster and faster and faster to the Constitution and free market principles. We're just not getting any media coverage. You know, the only place you hear about it is on talk radio or of some sort, because the media just completely blackballs this stuff. If you look at MSNBC, for example, who runs MSNBC?
GE.
And where's GE? Jeffrey Immelt is in the Obama administration. He's one of the advisors.
Oh, by the way, GE was one of Obama's largest campaign contributors.
Isn't that interesting?
In case you're wondering.
Well, we have a phone call. Terry's on line one, and let's get to him really quick. Terry, how are you doing?
Great. How you guys doing?
Very good.
The fun never stops.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. We were down in Sacramento with about 5,000 people at a seminar that John Hagee put on about what was going on with our country and the Book of Revelation. Very interesting. But the reason I'm calling is that this thing is really simple that we can all look at. I mean, we talk about different things like limited government, free markets, and fiscal responsibility. But basically, you know what it is? Just getting back to the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Period. That's the bottom line. I mean, we all keep talking about all these different things that are really superfluous to the bottom line. If we get back to the Constitution and the way we should be constitutionally, we're done. That's it. That's all we need to do.
Yeah, and it'll correct itself fairly quickly
if we
do that. That's exactly right. You'll start seeing this thing turned around so quick your head will spin if we start doing the right things and quit doing the wrong things, which is what every administration has been doing now for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. They've been heading in the wrong direction.
Well, we can take all these different little roads, this road, that one, this reason, that reason. The whole thing is getting back to adherence to the Constitution. So, you know, I believe that what we should be looking at as citizens, tea parties, anything right now is the first thing we look at is adherence to the Constitution. The rest of it is A, B, and C. The statement is adherence to the Constitution, and that's where we need to go.
I agree. Absolutely. Well, I think we're starting to run out of time here. I'm not sure what we got left, but we got a minute or two here.
Yeah, we have about a minute left. So.
Okay, so I kind of want to go over some things here. Thank our guests for coming in.
Elizabeth, you're welcome.
We totally appreciate it. Patrick, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Terry, for calling in.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Terry. We totally appreciate it. And what I want to do is, you guys got to get out there. You got to start doing something. You got to get off the couch. You got to turn off the TV, and we got to start doing something. So talk to your neighbors. Get a go bag. Store food. Do what you got to do. And with that, I think we're going to go into our final tune here, and then we'll see you guys next week.
You guys have a great week. Remember, like you said, stay to the Constitution.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
Country Thank you for listening survive. To KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta.